What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. If this is your first time, I just want to say thank you and get ready for the number one politics, society, and culture podcast in the DFW area and possibly even America. We talk about all sorts of controversy here in proper podcast form, and that means we tell you exactly what we think. I call that staying toasty. I try to publish as much as I can, and every week I have my co-host come on to give us the facts. Until then, though, you're stuck with me, your host, Sky Day. So, let's get freaking toasty.
Bro, I'm going to tell you about this hunt. So...
Yeah.
We,
okay, did you get anything?
No, dude. Snow goose hunting is, like, apparently a crazy hard. Like, not hard. Like, not physically, you know...
Demanding,
but, right. Like, it's apparently hard to get geese to fly near you. Imagine that. They're super smart birds, apparently.
Huh.
And, like, they talk to each other and stuff, so it's like, when they come in, they're, like, immediately, if anything's, you know... spooks them, right? But they won't even fly, like they'll decipher whether or not they're even going to come down to the level that they call working. Like they'll be like, okay, guys, when the birds are working, cover your face, get ready, you know, right?
Because uh-huh.
They can see your face like crazy clearly, even though you're wearing like all camo. And so you're in this freaking blind, right? And this blind, what a blind is, I don't know if you know this or not.
Yeah.
The audience probably doesn't. So you're inside I know it as a bivy. Like as a, when you go backpacking, there's a tent style that's called a bivy, and it's a single person tent that is like very, very close to the ground. There's not really much headroom either. So you're in a coffin pretty much. Well, that's what a blind pretty much is. The blind, though, is made out of metal poles and stuff, and then it has stuff around it like camo. And you sit in it. It leans you up a little bit. So, like, you're kind of leaning up when you're laying flat. So you're not just totally flat on the ground, I guess, for blood going to your head and stuff.
No,
yeah,
whatnot.
You don't want circulation.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, be safe or whatever. And so whenever – and the blinds closes up top, two doors, like French doors, close on you. And you're going to bust out of this thing literally like freaking Dracula out of a coffin – when a bird gets close to you. That's the idea. Like you have your gun going all the way pointed at your feet and you use your gun and your force to bust open these doors and freaking point your gun up and then shoot the bird if it gets close. So that's the reason you have a guide, because you can't see shit. You literally can't see anything. You can barely see some things happening up top. So if the geese are not literally right above you, you won't see shit. And you have a guide on the other end that's like, get ready. And then he starts calling, right? And he uses a geese call that's like a freaking megaphone.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you know, all the geese are chirping or whatever on his megaphone, right? Well, they come in hot, dude, and they're like, they're chirping, making noise and shit. He'll be like, from the right, from the left, from wherever. And then he'll be like, ready or whatever. We got one goose. That's the only reason I know the whole process.
Huh, okay.
We got one, dude. And literally hundreds of thousands, not exaggerating at all, fly over us. Like,
jeez.
That's how many geese are doing this thing. That's, I guess that's why they are able to hunt in the first place.
Uh-huh.
You just don't stop seeing them, dude. Like, you know, we would have hours of nothing. We'd be like, man, nothing's going on. Then all of a sudden, it's usually like the last hour. So like in the morning, it would get a little bit less windy than it was, and then bam, and it was like 18 degrees or 7 degrees one day.
Jeez,
so we're freezing
cold.
Our butts off, you know. Anyway, dude, the last hour they start flooding in, dude, and they would be so high up, but you have to get them to come down. So you're like, man, I hope these geese have been flying for a while. Maybe they need a freaking break in this nice cornfield that we're in. That's like got corn everywhere, dude. I guess that's what they were able to use. It's not bait. You're not baiting, though.
Right.
See, because baiting is illegal. So you're not baiting because it's already there. It's cornfield. All that to say, dude, I had fun hanging out with people.
Right.
And I was shooting skeet. Man, I was doing well. And I'm not, for those that don't know me and you're listening to this right now, I am not a very good hunter. I'm just really not a hunter. I just don't do it that often, right. You know? Yeah. So I just don't have that much practice. You know, I know how to shoot a gun. I know how to aim it correctly. And I would probably be able to shoot you if someone, you know, broke into my house. But beyond that, dude, I'm not super worried about it. I did have my CDL. Still have my CDL, I guess. So I did go through target practice, you know, and all that crap, too, for handgun shooting. But all that to say, dude, I don't shoot skeet, man. That's not what I do all the time, so... But I was getting the hang of it. I borrowed one of my uncle's guns. He let me borrow it, dude. It was a freaking Benelli Silver Super Vici. I don't even know what the heck that is, dude. Apparently, it's a freaking badass gun. This thing was kicking some ass, dude. Huh. It was awesome. But yeah, man, shot cool. One bird. Nice. Shot one bird, 3 days, whatever, however much money it was. And it was... dude, okay. Let me give a critique of this outfitter. And I, you know, I really hope they listen, because I'm not going to be a total douche or dick about it. But here's the deal, man. Whenever people go on hunts, you know, they go for, they go to get away from things, right?
Right.
Like a guy will be like, let's get a group of guys and let's go on a hunt. No kids, no wife sometimes if they have a wife. Right. Okay. Well, we get there, dude. And nonstop, bro, the outfitter's owner was like, had his kids. I don't know where his wife was. I'm not sure. I don't know their family dynamic, to be honest. I didn't try to know it. I was trying to stay out of it. Kids come in, bro. They're running around this lodge that we're staying in and, like, just there the whole time. Like, it wasn't like we had a separate thing to ourselves so we could hang out.
Yeah, that's kind of lame.
Yeah, yeah. And it got annoying, and it kind of threw off our vibe. You know,
it's like, come on,
some of us out here were trying to get... absolutely obliterated with beer, apparently, and just freaking go ham, right? Like, what are we doing, you know? So that was that's probably my biggest critique. I can't blame them for us not shooting birds, because, like, apparently that's normal. When it comes to snow geese, apparently that's normal. And so when I found out that was normal, I was like, so why do y'all do this?
Yes.
Why do y'all do the guided hunts if you never shoot a goose?
Just to make... all the money.
Yeah, turns out, no, not them, us. Like, because people in my group do it all the time. I just joined for the first time. It was just, I was an intern.
Huh.
So they're like, we've done this 4 times. I'm like, why the hell would
and
you
how
spend...
How many geese have they gotten, like, every year? Like, one?
One of them said, we got 8 geese last year. That's it. And that's all I really ever have gotten. All of them have been unsuccessful hunts.
Man, 8, though, that's a good amount.
8 for a group of like 5 or 6, that's nothing, dude.
Okay, maybe not.
It's the same as like 4 of us gangbanging 1 geese, you know what I'm saying? That was a joke.
But
we shot the geese. the goose.
Man.
The goosin'.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that, would you? Have you ever been on a guided hunt besides Africa?
Not really.
I've never been on a guided hunt, so I really didn't know how it was supposed to work. I thought I paid this guy and he gets me something to shoot. Oh, that's how that works, but...
Typically,
you know, it just...
It sounds like kind of a rip.
Well, turns out my uncle that let me borrow the gun, he goes geese hunting all the time, and he's like, I go to Canada every time. Apparently, Canada's the only good place to go for that.
Bro, I was
snow
say,
geese,
Canada,
right?
I bet they're just ridiculous, like, everywhere.
Well, apparently we just missed the timeline, because on the way up to Missouri, there was a snowstorm that happened, and we actually went through it a little bit, and that turns the geese around. Because they go up through Missouri going towards Canada, but I guess when they hit a snowstorm, they're like, nah, I'm not going to do that, and they turn around, right? But here's some interesting facts about geese that I didn't know before I went on this hunt, and I looked them up myself. The guides didn't even tell me any of this crap, so boom. Geese can fly up to 21,000 feet in the air, bro. 21,000 feet, dude. A plane flies at 36,000 feet. So an average for a geese is like apparently 18,000 or so. The highest flying geese they've ever recorded was like 22,000.
That's crazy. That's super high.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
The other thing is the reason they fly in a V is so that they can get better. You know how when you're behind an 18-wheeler and you get that draft?
Uh-huh.
Well, if they fly in a V and every single goose behind each other fly up a little bit, they get that draft. So the V starts at 1, the front, and then they go upwards steadily and in a V backwards. So they apparently are able to, like, it's maximum efficiency. And then every once in a while, or constantly, if you look at them in the air, you'll see this constantly. They're like changing positions. Uh-huh. So it's almost like the V just keeps going around like this, but right. you don't see the space. It's weird, dude.
They're smart. Birds are pretty smart.
Yeah, they're freaking smart. Bro, they'll turn their freaking head and their eye sees a face and they're like, nah, screw that. I'm not going down to that cornfield. But when you're seeing thousands of these things, dude, it's stunning. It actually is stunning. It's beautiful to see. Yeah. All right, I'm done talking about geese. This is my story that I had.
I was gonna say, that's why I like duck hunting.
You like duck hunting?
Yeah.
I've never been. Apparently, it's way better. Everyone was saying that. They're like, oh, duck hunting is way more fun than this. Because you know where they're at. They're at a freaking pond or in the water, and you know they're going to fly away from that. This goose thing was like, they on the off
in.
Chance.
You get them when they're flying in.
Right, but you know they're headed for your location. Like,
yeah.
The geese aren't just like always going to this one cornfield. It's like, we're just like trying to get them on the off chance they decide to come down to this cornfield.
It sounds like a weird strategy.
Well, there's tons of decoys, I'll say that. They put out literally 1,000 to 2,000 decoys in a field. And they look legit. They're legit decoys, but like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't even tell you it works. I don't even know if their method. They could have just been fooling us the whole time. They could have just all been a scam, dude. Here's it could have been the fire festival, for
yeah,
all I
right?
know.
Fire festival for geese hunting.
Dude, this is Harris Outfitters, just
maybe,
so you guys know.
I don't know. I would expect more geese, though, honestly. If I was going to pay money, I'd expect at least some geese to take home.
Well, and then here's the other thing, dude. Apparently, they increased their prices, and they gave us a good deal. Because we got last year's prices. Because we had to cancel last year's hunt because of a huge storm that happened or whatever here. Huh. You know, Snowmageddon. Yeah, man. Whatever, dude. I'm done talking about this shit. I just wanted to give the audience that freaking story from my unsuccessful goose hunt. But I had a blast with the guys. So, shout out to all the boys. I'm not going to list them off on this podcast.
But they were a good time. Well, that's good.
Yeah, they were, dude. Good. What about you, man? What's up?
We've just been, we had kind of a family day today. It was nice. We're just, Wyoming's like almost standing up.
Because we're snowed in. Well, okay, we're not really snowed in, but there's ice on the ground.
There's like, yeah, like a couple millimeters of ice here
I'm
and
just
there.
Saying, dude, Texans, I'm not messing with that crap. You
no,
can call
no,
me what
it's
you
all
want,
the other
but...
people. I just, yeah, all the other people on the road, no. It's not worth it. But yeah, he's getting close. He's crawling really fast, like... Crazy how fast he can crawl around. But it's good. Yeah, he's just...
Is he getting into stuff now? Because he's crawling everywhere?
Oh, yeah. He wants to touch and grab and twist everything.
Like he's in the next room and you're like, oh, crap, I didn't even know he crawled away, you know?
I keep a pretty close eye on him, to be honest. Like,
okay, I wasn't trying to say you're a bad parent. You're missing.
No,
that's
but,
not what
but
I was saying.
No, he will. The thing is, he loves cords, so he'll go straight to like an electrical cord and just be like, "This is cool to chew on, right?" And I'm like, "No, here's a toy. Like,
no.
Here's a baby toy." You know.
Yeah.
But he's pretty good at playing with his little piano that he's got. It's got like a little light up piano. So
yeah,
stuff like that he loves.
Hey, dude, I've been thinking about doing a different podcast, not other than this, but or whatever, dude. I'm adding on a podcast that's totally different.
Uh-huh.
I've been thinking about doing one that's like dealerships, like Hitchhiker's Guide to Dealership Life. That would be what it would be.
That'd be cool.
You think that would be it? Because like, I don't see a lot of them out there at all. And whenever I have the Shop Talk episodes, dude, people love it. They're like, oh, man, these are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, because they work at dealerships.
Yeah, definitely.
And we could get, like, literally the possibilities are endless for the amount of people we could have on just to talk about how you survive in a dealership world.
That's true.
But
it
would be me, you, and someone else. I'd probably have Nolan or someone else come on if Nolan wanted to. Since he works at Sewell, I don't know if he would do it. But I want to have us, and then I want to have another salesman or advisor or something like that on.
Right.
Because then you have, like, all the backgrounds we talk about. That'd be cool, dude, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, sorry for that little tangent.
I would definitely do that. It'd be like a very vulgar show, but that'd be like super fun.
Yeah, it would have to be extremely just explicit
just, it's
only.
Just Shop Talk. It's just, yeah, it'd be very like.
You know, and we would do like, I would do like guides. So like, you know, every other episode or every once in a while we'd do a show that's like, you know, how do you handle a manager that is, you know, this or, you know, that kind of thing, right? And it would literally be almost like a tutorial type thing, but we wouldn't do it that way. It'd be like we talk like this, and then we go through, and then we could easily have questions because people would call in or do whatever they want to have questions like, hey, I'm having problems at my dealership. This person or my manager has said this, and there's a problem here. And you know what I mean? It'd be like they're calling for drama. It'd be kind of cool. You know, how's the old job treating you, brother?
It's good. It's we're always super busy, so that's good. But
well, yeah. I wonder. So you guys are selling a ton of used cars, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, that Expedition like, question I had. You know, when my brother is trying to get an Expedition, and I guess they were telling him he was going to get like a Expedition Max, fully loaded or whatever, and it's going to be like 78 grand. I don't know, man. He was like, is that too much? I'm like, dude, I don't know the world of Fords that well. I was like, what's the MSRP actually, you know? And he's like, I think it's like 74. I'm like, look, man, if the dealership's making $4,000 and I would just do it. It's like the markup on these things right now for new cars has to be insane.
Yeah, especially
no
up
way.
There. Especially up there.
And I was like, $4,000 markup, that doesn't sound like a lot to me for dealerships.
Yeah.
But I know new cars are usually less than used cars markup wise, but I was like, you know, normally I'm seeing $5,000 or $6,000, so $4,000 for markup. I mean,
jeez, over MSRP?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I know Sewell's policy is they don't do anything over MSRP ever.
Uh-huh.
That's their policy. They make their money off of selling their nice warranties and their nice packages. That's how they do it, right? Which, in my opinion, that's actually, I think that's more legit.
It's a great business model.
I think that's a way better business model because then you don't have to worry about the haggle. And you can actually shoo away a customer if they want to fight you. You're like, look, this is how it is, MSRP or nothing. Boom. Because it's manufacturer's price. The dealership game that way has changed. But anyway, I was just telling you, I was asking you because, he just wanted to know. He didn't know what he was doing. You know, he wants to pull an RV, but he doesn't want to get a diesel. And I was like,
the EcoBoost is good, but a diesel is the best.
I mean, I told him,
it's like a 5,000 pound bumper pull.
Well, apparently the freaking Expedition Max is a 9,000 pound freaking towing capacity. Uh-huh. I was like, what? That's
EcoBoost
more
is,
than I expected.
It's great for towing.
Really?
Yeah.
I just expected a head gasket to go out or something. I was like, you should either have a V8 or have a diesel. Psh, end of story. I said, I know the EcoBoost is great, and I literally drive one. I drive a 3.5.
I've heard a lot of people say that the EcoBoost is better than the V8.
Wow.
For towing specifically. Just because it's a twin turbo, so you're going to have...
Oh, it's twin? I thought it was single. It's twin?
Yeah. There's each side. Yeah, there's two turbos.
I don't, I know what it means. I just was like, wow, I'm surprised. I thought it was just I thought it was just a turbo V6. I didn't think it was twin turbo, but if it's twin turbo, that's freaking awesome. Wow. Holy crap, I didn't know that.
Yeah, bank one, bank two. Toyobos.
You don't have to say, okay,
I'm just saying, like...
Heck yeah. For those that are listening, bank one is one side, bank two is the other side, essentially. And that's what it means, and each turbo is on each side and whatever, and whatever.
Yeah.
You guys get it. This isn't a Shop Talk episode, dude. What the hell?
Well, you're used to BMWs, so I can understand. They have six cylinders and one turbo.
But they have two banks still? Oh, why? I thought it was single turbo?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. I just thought it wasn't like a freaking 350Z or whatever, or a 370Z. Let me rephrase what I'm saying. A GTR. There we go.
Yeah.
Twin turbo V6.
Yeah. The Infinities, though, I think they're also twin turbo V6s.
I think they are, too.
And they are not fast at all.
Really?
In my opinion.
I haven't driven
one,
dude.
2.7 either V6, but...
Well, I'll be
not
a monkey's uncle.
Yeah.
Well, dude, okay, fine. Those updates are over. We might call that update segment, you know?
Yeah.
This is the Toasty Podcast update segment. Anyway, guys, if you're listening for the first time, I hadn't really done an introduction. I do a normal intro every single episode now. But if you're listening for the first time, please like, share, subscribe to the show. And the only way we grow is if you share it. That's the main thing I care about. You know what? Help out a friend in need by telling them about the Toasty Podcast. That's how you do it. But onwards and upwards, as they say. Today, we're just going to talk about current events and what's going on, and that's what we always talk about, so get ready. Anyway, first thing I wanted to do is ask you about the trucker thing. Yeah, because the trucker thing, the timeline, right? So, like, Are we? Is it done yet? Are we done yet? You know. And I guess the answer is no. But like, didn't they cancel? Have they not canceled vaccine mandates yet, or any of that?
I don't think so.
Because I thought so. So according to news headlines, right? Trudeau was gonna make an emergency order, or put in place emergency orders that they could freeze bank accounts, personal and corporate or commercial, and they were basically that they were pinpointing the truckers, right, that are doing this convoy. They're blocking roads and ports or whatever. They're blocking the entranceway somewhere in Canada. To be honest, guys, I don't know exactly. It's Ottawa, but I don't know exactly what road and all that. I'm not up there.
Yeah,
I just know that they're blocking like shipping. Yeah, one of the main freeways, right? But I think the important thing to note here is that I've seen a lot of people on Reddit and Twitter that are actually complaining about the truckers and saying that they're selfish and all this stuff. I just want you to think about 2019 and 2020 in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, and Chicago, and Minneapolis. You know, and think about what those people were doing, and just. Well, really, just take a step back, because when it comes to protesting, you know, you're always going to think that this one side is being selfish, just trying to get their way. Well, they are trying to get their way, but it's because it's for freedom. I think it's a little bit different, and also they're not putting anyone in harm by burning buildings and shutting right. businesses down.
It's a very
That's
different
not happening.
Kind of a protest.
What's even better is that there's stories of. It's a disruption. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a, you know, disruption in this regard to, you know, democratize or whatever. But what's funny to me is that there's even stories of like there's a gelato ice cream shop that had to get shut down because people on the opposite side that are against the truckers' convoy were basically putting signs up on her windows and stuff and calling her out because she donated money to the truckers, apparently, right? Yeah. And this is something that I don't understand. It's just more polarization, essentially. It's all it is, you know?
Yeah, I don't think they're doing anything to really stop it. And I've heard that a lot of Canadian law enforcement is still going to go after bank accounts, even though Trudeau shut down the Emergency Powers Act, or whatever it's called
right.
in Canada. They're still going to go after those people, and that they're still going to track down their financial records and possibly, you know, fine them or whatever.
And they just do it in the back door.
People that donate as little as like $50. It's crazy.
Well, then, of course, we had Groupon that they seized all the funding and tried to hand it back out to other charities. Like, how are you going to do that? That's crazy. I think they realized that they can't do that and backtracked. And then they said they're just going to GoFundMe. And they're going to refund the donations back. Did you hear about that? That was the update. Yeah. After they realized they can't give them to other charities, they were like, oh crap, well, here you go. Here's your money back. Like,
right.
Oh, okay. What? Like, anyway, that was crazy.
And then those on GoSendMe, which was a Christian, basically version of GoFundMe. They tried to have a big fund for the truckers, and the Canadian government tried to stop that as well. They tried to seize all of it.
It's a lot of heavy-handed freaking government overreach right now, dude. Yeah. It's insane.
There's a lot of like videos and stuff out there of just how crazily heavy-handed the Canadian police have gotten, and it's really concerning.
On TikTok, of all things, I've seen these videos, and I'm like, okay, what the heck, dude? You know, TikTok is also another place that I saw Ukraine bombing today, but I don't know if it's, you know, when you're watching TikTok, you can't really know if it's happening right there in front of this person recording on a camera, or if it's on their phone, or if it's a recording they had or whatever. You don't really know, but I just kind of want to go over the trucker thing to give you guys a timeline-ish. You know, I might actually do a timeline later, but they're still going on. This is still happening. So it's not over yet. And I also have heard, I don't know for sure, reports about a U.S. convoy happening as well. I'm not sure why a U.S. convoy would happen yet, because right. I think most cities in the U.S., even New York, are releasing their COVID restrictions, excluding Seattle, King County right now. They still have to wear masks. They still have to show vaccine cards to get into most restaurants
I've
and everything
else. I've heard Washington
else.
In general is still just going to have
Washington State, yeah. King County is pretty big, but Washington State too as well. They're still doing that. My brother lives there. That's how I know. When he told me this was happening, you know, does he know? Like, can you see the world around you? Like, it's interesting. Well, he probably can. Washington State. I'm frustrated at several governors right now, but Washington State is probably one of the main ones.
Yeah,
he's. You know, no one looks at that. They look at California, New York, and Illinois, Chicago. No one's talking about Washington State. They are literally the worst at this point. They are the worst because they're still going on. They're still doing this.
Yep, you know, I agree.
No one can go to work there still. Like, they're still, it's... I am so surprised at how my brother has been so steadfast in staying out of politics even today. That's what surprises me the most.
That's crazy. If you're still not really like interested or involved in politics, then like you really gotta look
maybe
around.
It's not a good maybe it's not a bad thing, I guess, or a good thing. Maybe it's just a neutral thing. But to me, if I was in a place where I was stuck and it was because of the government and it was constant like this, like yeah, you have a few things that happen and you're like, man, that sucked. You know, 9/11, wow, Patriot Act, man. Psh, what a time, huh? But then you look at this, and it's happening to you every single freaking day, and it doesn't stop, and it affects you personally.
Right.
And your kids, too. Your kids that are going to go to school or not go to school and see emotions and stuff like that. You know, I would be livid. And maybe he doesn't want to tell me or talk to me about it because he knows how I am already. Maybe he doesn't want to fuel the flame, you know? Uh-huh. Maybe he thinks that I'll talk about it on the show, which... I probably would. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But you know, if he's listening now, you know, man, you gotta. I think maybe you do care and you don't show it. But for your kids, man, this is why I'm so. This is why I'm so into it. This is why I'm so, you know, radical about this kind of stuff. Because as soon as I see IQ reports and kids not being able to go to school and all this stuff that's going to affect our generations to come. You know, that'll affect me whenever I'm 50. So, I gotta figure that out. I gotta think about that, you know?
Right. It's not good anyway. that how horrible all this has affected kids, you know? The lockdowns and the masks and the lack of being able to say L. You know, I've heard, like, you have to be able to see someone say L.
What?
Like when you're a 4-year-old learning how to say words, you have to be able to see visually someone's mouth say L. Otherwise,
really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that was a thing.
Otherwise, they're not really gonna understand how to say L.
So interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
I think kids are probably the worst outcome of this whole pandemic. Not pandemic. The whole government response to the pandemic.
I agree, 100%.
Because I'm tired of saying because of the pandemic. Because a lot of this isn't because of the pandemic, actually. Most of this is because of the government response to the pandemic. So
100%. I would say like 90% of the problems that we faced are due to the government and not the virus itself. But... That's typically the way that goes with like disasters. Like the government doesn't really help all that much.
No, they don't. They say they do. They make you feel like they do. They don't actually do it.
In this case, they made it way worse.
And then they get more power from it. So, man, I don't know, man. But whatever. TikTok, like I was saying, they were. I saw this video, and this is literally what sparked my little. Research into real quick this morning, like early this morning, saw this little bombing video and I was like, oh crap, what's this? Ukraine apparently. And I'm like, oh shoot.
Yeah.
And then I went down this rabbit hole. It wasn't even that much of a rabbit hole, dude. It was all over the freaking front page. But apparently we've started, you know.
Yeah.
And people were freaking out, you know. I saw Twitter blowing up World War III, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yo, wait a second, dude. wait a freaking second. We need to hold on a second, you know, because like we still have no idea how this is going to play out, you know. I'm not saying we shouldn't be prepared. I'm saying, bro, everyone is literally hyping this thing up.
Yeah.
That's not what should be happening. You know?
Maybe.
Okay, maybe. I know. I'm not saying it. What do you mean?
I think it's really dangerous to underestimate the situation.
Well, I think on the flip side, it's also equally dangerous to overestimate it, dude, because that's what we did with, I think we disagree on this, but that's what we did with 9/11, and we went ham. Turns out they were lying to us the whole time, you know, about what was there. Maybe we needed to be there, but...
About weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, they were either lying to us or Saddam got wind of us invading and he moved them. And he had plenty of time to do that. And the places that he could have moved them easily into Iran. Nobody would have known. So
true.
It's kind of
tough
situation.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. I never really fully believe our side. I'm not saying that Ukraine and Russia itself is not a big deal,
right?
But our media tends to sensationalize things way too much, and knowing that they do that, coming into this, I was already weary, you know. And every time a headline gets brought up, it was almost daily preparing us for something like this, right? Uh-huh. Ramping us up. I'm like, man, why are they ramping us up for this? You know? And I'm not saying that maybe it's not a real war or maybe they're not a threat. Because, you know, clearly, if Russia attacks Ukraine or has attacked Ukraine, we're their ally. We need to go defend them. And I'm not going to say we shouldn't. I just keep wondering why we are so gung-ho for it to happen. You know, the media could have said, or the government could have said, okay, if something happens, we're on it. Cool, sounds good. Instead, it was this constant reminder by media that something is going to happen, and, you know, we're going to be there, basically.
Yeah, I think they were probably using it as a distraction because Biden has nothing going for him domestically. He has a lot of things going against him, actually. So they thought maybe he could use this as a good leadership moment. And they were kind of, I think the media was honestly kind of hoping for that because of the failures in Afghanistan and with the whole French-Australian submarine debacle. That's a whole other thing, but foreign policy,
we talked about that in
foreign policy
episode.
Decisions, yeah, have not been very good for the president up till now, and including now because it's too little, too late. He issued these sanctions that, you know, Putin could really care less about. I've heard the Russian stock market went down about 40%, and then they froze it. Same with the ruble, totally tanked against the U.S. dollar.
Because of our sanctions?
And they froze it, right.
Well, it was mostly Democratic media that was sensationalizing it.
Yeah.
I will say that. Now, I'm not going to give Fox News a pass here. They were also doing this heavily. But when you compare, when you say it's Fox
News, they were for different reasons.
And then you say, yes, exactly.
I think as soon as it began to turn south, that's when conservative outlets really started to pick up on it and change their tune
right,
on it.
Right.
Like, obviously everyone knows I listen to Daily Wire a lot, and I was listening to Michael Knowles' show, and he was like, you know, just a couple weeks ago, he was like, oh, this is no big deal. This is like a total distraction. Why should we care about Ukraine? Nothing's going to happen to this, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's totally not a big deal. We should be focused on, you know, our southern border and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, we should be focused on our southern border for sure, but I think it's really like naive to disregard what's going on in Europe. For like, there's a lot going on. Ukraine supplies the like 13-14% of the world supply of wheat and rice,
right?
And they have a lot of oil and natural gas, and just the location of the country itself is very advantageous to the West and the East.
In
Russia. So and then eventually, like just a few days ago, he basically does like a Michael Knowles does his total 180, and it's like, oh, this is really important. Everybody should be paying attention to this. Ukraine's a big deal. You know, this is why it's such a big deal. And then I'm like, dude, you were just saying how it wasn't even a big deal just a few weeks ago. Now you think it's this crazy big deal, and we should all be talking about it.
It's probably just a news cycle for them. You know?
Right, exactly. For him, it was, for sure. But Ben Shapiro was always like, no, this is a big deal. Ever since there was like just a few, you know, just maybe 40, 50,000 troops starting to amass on the border.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And honestly, since 2014, I was like, man.
Something's going to happen there. What about Crimea? You know, you're like... It's like literally. It seems like they're just going by the normal Russia book right now.
They are,
and
old Soviet playbook for sure.
Right, and you see this. That's one thing I said on Facebook earlier. You know, to some people that follow me or whatever, I was like, "You guys want to know what's really going on? Just research Crimea and Russia, right, and see what's up there." And then I was like, also look at the truckers and how many of them are vaccinated. You know, I was just saying some long post or whatever about some research. Because I saw tons of people on my timeline saying, here we go, you know, we're going to war. And that's what I mean. Before people just go crazy, jump into all these conclusions here, yes, we might be there. Yes, we might be going. No, I don't think we should disregard it. But just look at how everything played out, you know?
Right.
And that's probably what, I mean, if we let it happen, that's what will happen. Now, if we don't let it happen, right, and we actually step in, maybe not.
And I think... I've been watching Fox News like almost all day today, and because it was actually really super interesting. So they had former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on today, and he was like, "Oh, the Secretary General, I can't remember his name right now, of NATO is a really good guy. I think it's Stoltenberger is his name. He's a really good guy, good leader, and the leaders of the countries in Europe need to rally around him." And let him kind of tamp the situation down and help Ukraine defend itself, help Russia go back to its borders. And if they want to occupy Belarus, they can do that with Belarus's permission. That's fine. But no more violence, right? So I think that's a really good position. I think that's basically what the U.S. should do, is enable NATO with intelligence, resources,
like equipment. Energy, like we up our energy production for NATO. That'd be something.
That would be good. I think also just sharing some intelligence with them would be really beneficial for them, and it would help build trust with our European allies. And
yeah,
I think honestly, if I was President Biden or even Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, I would definitely have a very serious sit down with Germany and be like, look, y'all need to be on our side and not stop placating to Russia as much, because we're noticing, the rest of Europe is noticing, and I would try and twist their arm the best way I could. I'm not sure exactly what leverage I would use, but Germany is not being very cooperative.
Interesting,
you know, as far as that goes. But and it's a win-win for Germany,
right? Now
they've kind of positioned themselves well.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we can't disregard it necessarily, but I think we should chill out for a second, look what's going on, and do what you said, basically play it the right way. And, you know, there's also there's other things going on as well, and that's what I don't want people to forget. You know, I don't want people to get so entranced or trapped in this sensational media that they forget things that are happening, other things that are happening.
Right.
This is just the normal speech that I should give every single time there's a news cycle, you know, like... The truckers are still happening. Ukraine, Russia's happening. What's going on with China, Taiwan, and things like that? We don't know. That's gone for now, right? Like, it was in the news cycle and fell out of it. There could be still stuff happening there. You know, and there's just...
Well, China's just biding their time, you know?
You know, maybe so, but my point is, reporting, a very nice spread of reporting doesn't happen or isn't happening.
Right.
And this is just probably the same complaint as everybody else. Media's changed, blah, 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 meh, you know, whatever. But that's kind of my whole thing on the Ukraine-Russia deal. But what are the actual updates we have, you know, right now?
So we just announced new sanctions today, being Thursday, the 24th of February. They include, this is from the Daily Wire, article by Ryan Saavedra. Sanctions that we've, so a sanction is basically like an economic punishment. And sanctions that we've levied against Russia include severing the connection to the U.S. financial system for Russia's largest financial institution, Sberbank, including 25 subsidiaries, by imposing correspondent and payable through account sanctions. So they basically froze a bunch of bank accounts. I've also heard that they froze... oh gosh, what was it called? I'll have to look it up. It'll probably be in here, but they froze another foreign transaction utility.
So they also did oil reserve or something like that. What did they do with oil? They did something with oil, didn't they? I thought they did. Let me see as well. Let's see. Second largest sanctions package on Russia. So, in some of the critical sectors, of course. Go ahead.
I'm going to keep going with those bullet points. Full blocking sanctions on Russia's second largest financial institution, VTB Bank, including 20 subsidiaries. Full blocking sanctions on three other major Russian financial institutions and 34 of their subsidiaries. New debt and equity restrictions on 13 of the most critical major Russian enterprises and entities. This includes restrictions on all transactions and provisions of financing for another dealings in new debt greater than 14 days maturity. Blah, 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 blah.
Isn't it weird how they're able to target? They targeted specific Russian elites,
yep,
and 24 Belarusians,
yes,
like specifically.
Yep, because both of those countries are oligarchies. So if you target the oligarch specifically,
it's going to be like 7 or 8 people.
Yeah, it'll be much more
just a smaller group of people, I guess.
Effective, yeah.
Interesting.
But I don't think that's going to do very much because, yeah, you can sanction those oligarchs, but like I've mentioned before on the show, you're sanctioning like a tenth of their wealth. So they're just like, oh, okay, cool. I'll go grab my gold and silver and Bitcoin from wherever else in the world that I have it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, this isn't a very quick thing. When you put sanctions on somebody, I don't think it's like immediate. They don't feel it like immediately. They're going to, it's going to take a while.
Let me ask you this. Let me put it to you this way.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Do you think if you froze Hitler's like Visa and MasterCard, do you think he would like stop the invasion of Poland?
Yeah, I think it would keep going.
He would laugh and be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, what is he going to do
with
that?
I'm invading a freaking country.
What's money going to do for me?
Like, he just tosses a credit.
I mean, unless he needs more weapons later. But I'm saying you have the weapons just, like, right
okay,
there, you know?
Okay, you know how, like, you can rob a bank and get a bunch of money from a bank? Well, they just like, walked into a country with missiles and guns and just killed... They've killed dozens of people already.
And they've already... The thing is...
They don't care about these stupid sanctions.
Right.
That's what... It's just like wearing a mask. It's just things to do that make the government look like they care and that they're doing something.
And I agree.
That's why I've said on this show over and over and over, the only thing you can do that's actually going to deter them is like get some freaking Predator drones and fly them right over the front lines where the Russians are and blow up all their blood, blow up all their tanks, blow up all their helicopters. And then they'll be like, oh, crap. We can't really invade without all the necessary provisions, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you think they didn't prepare? They prepared for sanctions, most likely, or they prepared for something like it. They have their stores of weapons and things ready to go. They have their stores of troops ready to go. They're obviously already on the border. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. I was honestly just – I'm not going to say I was happy at what Biden did. I was actually pleasantly surprised. Let me just say that.
Okay.
Because I don't know if I even expected anything to come out of his mouth about this. Like Afghanistan. I thought he was just going to kind of like skirt over it.
Oh,
and
my
like,
gosh.
You know, how much of an atrocity would that be? But you know what? Going back to your previous point, this is going to be a very big win for Biden if he plays it right. So I guess he probably wouldn't skip this opportunity. because he needs the votes. He needs the people to come back on his side. You know,
right?
Which
I don't think he's doing that. I think he's just.
I don't either. But you know, the other thing is
a little too late.
Hopefully, people can still read between the lines. They probably can't because a lot of people are sheep, but they read between the lines. They can see, you know, even if Biden tries to pull this off or does pull this off correctly, he's still President Biden, you know? He's still very old and very aged, and sadly, I think he is not fit for office, you know? So we still have that going on. We still have that story to talk about. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Let's be honest here, man.
Well, I just found this out. Ukrainian males ages 18 to 60 banned from leaving the country.
They're doing a draft.
Yeah.
60?
Yeah.
What kind of Ukrainian 60-year-old, are they like in better shape than we think? Are they like Italians, dude?
Cool. I'm going to read the Italians official government message, okay? So here it is. This is from the government of Ukraine. The State Border Guard Service of Ukraine reports that due to the imposition of martial law in Ukraine, the departure of a certain category of citizens from Ukraine is temporarily restricted. In particular, male citizens of Ukraine aged 18 to 60 are prohibited from leaving Ukraine. Such a rule will apply for the period of martial law. We ask citizens to take this information into account.
Wow.
That's it.
Holy crap, dude. That's like just straight up. Here we go.
Boom.
Ukraine also advised Ukrainians in Russia to leave Russia. They were like, get the heck out.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You're about to fight Russia.
Women
so
and
like,
children
let's
need
do
a,
it, you know?
You know, GTFO.
GTFO.
So this is from earlier today as well. So Volodymyr Zelensky, who's the president of Ukraine, announced on Thursday morning that he would give weapons to anyone who wanted to defend the country from the full-scale Russian invasion that was launched during the early morning hours. And there was a guy on Fox News who was like, yeah, this is the gun that I got from the government today.
What?
They handed out they had 10,000 guns to hand out, and they were like gone in a flash.
Because they're like, we're going to do this.
Yeah, because
that's what I'm talking
about, dude.
The citizens
of Ukraine were like... Oh, hell yeah. Free gun? Like a free gun? And I just... Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah,
like,
but that doesn't... It's not just free, bro. You gotta fight.
Well, no, the thing is, they were like, sit in your home, and if you see a Russian come down the street, it's guerrilla warfare.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing.
How
are
you gonna
thing?
Invade that... That city's gonna take a while. You gotta go door to door and flush every door, and you're gonna lose a guy every door if you're... You know?
That's why Texas will never lose, dude.
Oh, dude. Texas will never be.
Guerrilla warfare. You don't even have to have the mayor or whoever come out and give guns away. We already have them. So, like, we're Gucci, bro.
Yeah,
but
we don't even need that.
But, you know, I had a guy, one of the guys against this whole war, you know, or against this whole Ukraine-Russia ordeal. I can't say against. It's happening. This is something that is actually happening. But he just didn't think we should... totally swoop in fully and do all this stuff. He attributed it to us being worried about Russia. I think he wasn't saying that we should not go and fight. He was saying, yeah, sure, we'll go and fight, but I don't think people should be as worried about it as they are because if we really wanted to, we would just get it done. Basically, he was saying Russia's economy is actually not even close to what it was in the Soviet Union.
No.
And he's like, he attributed it to, here's what he said. I don't know if this is accurate, but he said, think of Texas invading Louisiana or Texas invading Arkansas or something similar. Like they're very, very, very similar GDPs and stuff like that. And I was like, Ukraine is tiny, bro. What do you mean? Like, I just didn't understand his comparison, but maybe he just meant by economy wise, like money and stuff and help and support. Cause Ukraine technically probably has a lot of support versus Russia, you know?
Hold on, I'm going to look this up. So, I'm looking up Ukrainian. Oh, what the hell? Ukrainian and Russian GDP.
Oh, my God.
Hang on here.
Let's see. Well, while you're looking that up. This is just a funny little headline. John Kerry urges Putin to not let Ukraine invasion distract from combating climate change.
Yeah. Yeah, John Kerry's
moron. What the heck, dude?
Like, what a jerk.
It's important for Russia to remain committed to lowering greenhouse gas emissions. I just don't understand how you can even talk like about this kind of thing or like this when you know people just got like Russia just bombed numerous cities across the what the heck, dude? Numerous cities across the country in
okay,
Ukraine.
Okay. So yeah, they're not even like in the same ballpark. So Ukraine's GDP, it's a much smaller country than Russia.
Right. Oh, yeah. Tiny.
Russia's like the...
Compared to Russia.
Third biggest country? Second? First?
I
think it's the first biggest country in the world.
Yeah. As far as population-wise, maybe
land
not.
Area. No,
land
no,
area.
No.
Land area. Yeah. Land mass.
So, yeah. Ukraine's GDP is... Oh, gosh. That's so sad. Ukraine's GDP is $155 billion annually.
Wow.
That's how much money their whole economy makes. That's how much they produce as a whole country. It's $155 billion every year. It's a lot of money. Cool. So, and their population is 44 million.
I have a feeling where this is going to go, but go ahead.
Their population is 44 million. So that'd be okay. They'd be like Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma combined, roughly.
Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma combined.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roughly. Maybe throw in Arkansas to you. Let's see. So Russia is $1.48 trillion. So $1.5 trillion. It's about 10 times more.
Yeah, wow.
So Ukraine's GDP per capita was like $3,700 a year. U.S. dollar. This is all in U.S. dollars. So that's very, very low.
Yeah,
that's
super low.
Average income for the Ukrainian households.
$3,700.
A year.
What? Yeah. And it's usually lower than that because it doesn't account. That's crazy, man.
Right. So the GDP per capita in the U.S. is like 60.
Right.
So, yeah. The Russian GDP, how much they're... output is $1.48 trillion. It's about $1.5 trillion a year. Their GDP per capita is about 10,000. So three times, almost three times that of Ukraine. And their population's 144 million as of 2020.
So almost 104 million more than, or 100 or 104 million more than Ukraine.
About 100 million more.
They're 10,000 per person, and we're 60,000 ahead. So we're obviously going to be more GDP. Already. I know we are. We're way,
oh, yeah. Our GDP
more.
Is,
yeah.
Let's see.
US. And, you know, I think his point was, look at Russia, look at us. Even though Ukraine and Russia are doing this and Ukraine's tiny, I think we'll still be okay, guys. Because we have us, Europe, also did sanctions. Boris Johnson, you know, did his whole sanction thing as well on Russia.
Yeah, so... the U.S. GDP is obviously the highest in the world, and it's...
like 30-something trillion?
No, it's 20.94 trillion. So about 21. It'll be 21 this year, most likely. It went down during COVID.
Yeah, I know.
But that's,
I heard.
That's about the last time. Yeah, the GDP per capita is $63,000 a year. GDP growth rate... went down 3.5% last year, which is sad. And our population, according to the 2020 census, is 329.5 million people.
Yeah, that's double Russia. Look, you know what, dude? I can just say this. I think we shouldn't disregard it, but I do think that it's an easy thing for us to fix if we really want to. And I think, you know, you're right. You know, we go in, we do our thing, we maybe do predator drones, or maybe we... you know, help NATO out a ton and then just like go in with a few thousand troops or something real quick and do drones, you know, like nothing big for us. But
right. And the thing is, we wouldn't even have to do it. We could just say, hey, Ukraine, do you want to lease some Predator drones for like 6 months?
Yeah,
why
yeah.
not? And then and then train them how to fly them, and then like there you go.
Well, I think it's so easy for us to have three Air Force guys in a room control these Predator drones from Hawaii, and they're in you know, and they're in Ukraine.
I like, think it's actually Virginia, but go ahead.
There is a base in Hawaii, so is I know really? That. I know that for a fact. One of my buddies was in Hawaii.
That's so creepy.
Doing stuff, and he was like, "Dude, here we are doing stuff here." I'm like, "This is crazy, man." They may not fly Predator drones to attack for like wars like this, but dude, crazy stuff. The point is though, you know, I agree. Yeah, this could be something simple. You know, just like Afghanistan, we've talked about before. You know, there could be a few thousand troops over there. We do all air support. Think of the difference that would make. You know, people have an instant reaction to war. When you say war to one person, they may scoff and freak out and say, never, war sucks, get the heck out of my face. And the next person might say, yes, war is necessary, we've got to send people and fight. Freedom isn't free. You know, you might have that difference right there. But just like everything in politics, there actually is a place for the center. There actually is a place for the independent. When it comes to war, you can have a nice in-between, and I'm never going to say that people won't die. I can't promise that. But, dude, it doesn't have to be as intense as everyone makes it out to be. We could have a nice, you know, easy go of this. Go ahead,
As far as the U.S. goes, as far as, like, us committing troops, yeah, definitely. But there's definitely going to be, like, a massive amount of casualties from this war, for sure.
Yeah, well, Ukraine, they'll just do it. They'll make it happen.
You know, and a lot of people say, oh, it's going to be, like, a 48-hour thing. I say, no, definitely won't be.
No, it won't.
But I say we'll have a lot better idea in a week's time,
right,
where things are going. And if it's going to be an ongoing conflict, you know, if it's still going on a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, then we'll be like, okay, the casualties are just going to get more and more crazy, and then the more and more buildings are going to get blown up. They're already targeting hospitals right now.
How fast was Crimea? How was that? I don't remember the timeline for like how quick they did that.
It was a matter of months.
Because no one helped out. No one jumped in.
Well, what they did was they basically did like a soft invasion where they had a bunch of Russian actors come in.
Right.
And they held these stupid fake referendums in which 93% of the population voted to join the Russian Federation.
Right.
And it was obviously a fake election. And there were Russians at the polling locations with guns, and they were making sure that people voted the right way. That was it.
Yeah, so it wasn't a fake election. It was a bribed election with guns.
No, it was a forced
election.
They probably were in charge of counting the ballots, too. So.
Oh, okay.
It was
So either way, it just doesn't matter.
Fake election.
If someone held a gun to your head and said, vote for this guy, you're going to vote.
Yeah, and that's what they did. And, I mean, it's like the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, has permission from the Duma, which is the Russian, basically like a Russian parliament or Russian Congress. He has permission from them to do all this. He has permission to invade. He has permission to recognize. He's getting permission to recognize those two regions that broke away from. They essentially declared independence from Ukraine. What happened was a bunch of Russian separatists went into these regions and declared independence for that region, like on behalf of that region, and you know, nobody, the people of that area had nothing to do with it. It was a bunch of Russians that went in. It's like, you know, it's an old Soviet trick, really.
Yeah.
To make it look like, oh, it's democracy, and it's all
just
local
on,
countries that want to declare independence.
Yeah.
From these oppressive Ukrainian overlords, right? So he instantly recognized them and sent troops in, and that was the first part of the invasion.
The first prong.
And he's going in from all sides. He's going in from the north, using Belarus as like a proxy puppet state. He's going in from the north, and that's where Kyiv is, the capital of Ukraine. And he's going in from the northeast, which is where Russia is, where Russia borders Ukraine. And he's also going in from the south, which is where Crimea is in the Black Sea. So he's going in from three directions. And the Ukrainians are putting up a lot of resistance from the north and from the east. But the Russians are advancing steadily throughout the country. So there was a battle at Chernobyl, and the Russians took over Chernobyl and marched right past it. So they're not holding ground. They are just, they're going straight towards the capital. They're going to take over the capital. And the question is, will they take it over in a matter of days, or will it be drawn out? And will the Ukrainians hang tough? And like I said, I've been watching Fox News all day, and all the interviews from the Ukrainian foreign minister to the president to just random people of Ukraine are like, Ukrainians are tough. We will fight. We're going to stay. We're not going to let them take our country.
What do you do? So, you know, it's always interesting to me when you have this happening, and you told the parable. I'm just kidding. It was like an analogy of the kids are fighting on the playground, and are you going to help them out or not? You know, your friends or whatever. You know, in this situation, do you want them to have their pride and like try, or do you want to just go in and just get it done? You know, and I wonder that too. Like, sanctions were nothing, but should we go ahead and jump in now and just get it over with, or let them figure it out? You know, and like you said, maybe we let it play out for a week, you know, and then see what's happening here, really, realistically, how fast it might progress, you know?
So it's really tough to do that because the Ukrainians are obviously the underdog here.
Yeah.
By a large margin. But if you look back at like the American Revolution, the Americans were the underdog by a large margin. But at the same time, the British Empire is very different from the Russian Federation. The British Empire in 1776 is very different than the Russian Empire Russian Federation in 2021. So in 2022. But it's really tough. Like, I feel like if you start seeing other countries kind of pile on, like first Belarus and then maybe Germany, it kind of like builds a coalition, and then maybe you see another really big power like China kind of jump in and give blessing and say, you know, maybe we might commit a few troops, then the U.S. is really, I would almost say, obligated to jump in. And then once you have a proxy war like that, that actually sounds like
the world war, you know.
And
but
that's what very well could happen. Is this could be a skirmish and a failed invasion. This could be, I think it could have like three very real outcomes. It could be like a skirmish, kind of a failed invasion sort of thing, and Putin will kind of get some major wins here. Maybe even install a new president in Ukraine that's just a puppet of Russia, which is a real possibility. I think the next possibility is a moderate-sized war that will be drawn out for maybe a year or two between Russia and Ukraine, with kind of helpers and proxies going at it. Or another very real possibility is it could be the beginning of World War III, and we could just see Russia invading Ukraine as the very first domino, you know. First, he annexes Crimea and parts of Georgia, and Putin has all these puppet states. He's got Belarus, he's got Kazakhstan, he's got, even to like a lesser extent, these strong allies like Iran and China. So he's already got like his Axis powers. And if he invades Ukraine, that's a lot of, it's, you know, basically the breadbasket of Europe is what they call it. So that's a major win if he gets that. And then if he starts going after the Baltic states like Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, those are historically the former Soviet states, then he'll annex, formally annex Belarus. It won't be like necessary, but he could do that. And then even parts of Finland historically were Russian. And during World War II, there were allies with Russia and Germany at one point. So you just have to...
Yeah, and that's why I say, you know, we got to step back, look, we'll see what's happening here, and then we do our thing.
And then if China uses this moment of, you know, to go after Taiwan, which would be, honestly, I feel like that'd be really smart timing to go after Taiwan, because then it's like, okay, Biden's got to deal with this over here in Europe, and then this over here in Asia, and then all these domestic
issues. And then supply chain issues we're going to have even more if Taiwan is... Because that's like I said, that's 90% of the microchips in the world,
right?
93%.
And that's why China wants it so bad, is because the world needs it so bad.
Samsung and these other freaking factories better pop up quick, you know?
Yeah, Samsung's coming to Texas.
I know they are. There's actually a lot. There's actually three more companies than Samsung that are doing the same thing, moving to Texas and building microchips. But they're not big companies. They're just like actually microchip manufacturers that are obscure. No one really knows about them. But it's like $17 billion total or something like that coming over here. Huh. Look, you know... You're right, and like I said, you need to step back and look at everything, and I think that's kind of the end of it there. I just don't want to see them go into the Capitol, and then, you know, that's when we're in. Like, Russia's at the Capitol, and Ukraine is gone, and now we're like, oh, crap, let's get something done. Like,
right.
Even if these other countries don't jump in, and it is just another Crimea, or they're trying to make it like that, then, you know, we step in before they get to the Capitol. Don't we? You know, and that's kind of why I'm like, you know, we want to wait, and I agree we should wait, but maybe we go in a little bit sooner than Biden's probably going to. So it's like,
I don't think Biden will go in at all. By go in, I mean like
actually go in.
Have any sort of military support whatsoever.
Right.
I don't think that's on the table for him.
So no drones, no troops on the ground.
Definitely
not. No air support. Nope. I mean, do we even have surveillance? You know, over there?
Of course we do.
We have to, right? And of course we do.
We have CIA has assets in every country.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
Lots of them. So, but
that's about it, man.
Yeah, the moral of the story today, kids, is wait and see. But at this point, all you can do is wait and see, because the sanctions are too little too late, in my opinion.
Right.
I think you would have had to show a really scary, overwhelming slap on the wrist.
Well, the sanctions is something you would have done whenever we first heard that Russia was at the border of Ukraine, in my opinion.
Yeah. And just not honestly canceling the Keystone Pipeline and allowing Nord Stream 2 to happen basically gave Putin a big old green light. And
oh, yeah. That was a failure for sure.
Huge problem. Nord Stream 2 allows, I think, 5.5 billion barrels, I think, a day. And then Keystone XL was like 850 billion.
Yeah.
So it was like 550 versus 850. So if we would have just allowed the Keystone XL, we would have enough to supply all of what Nord Stream 2 is supplying, plus 300,000, yeah, barrels a day.
That's a huge failure. All right, guys.
Yep.
That's our takes today. We just wanted to give you guys some education on that, and we will talk to you guys later.
That's why I'm trying to call you girls.
Stay toasty.
Life's not fair, and I'm here for that. See when I seem to be back for that. Learn as I go, just an act for that. Back for that. But this ain't one of them boom boom paps, and this ain't one of them smash collabs, and I go hard like smash and grab. It's a beer. Yeah. Now all I want to do is make clear that all I'm trying to do is rap, but not like one of them mumble queers, cause all they seem to know is trap. You notice how I switch a flow for y'all? Just to see y'all clap? Look, when it comes down to it, I'll get right down to it. Yeah.
Toasty.